Okay, so today we're stepping into, well, a really shadowy corner of history. It honestly feels like something ripped straight out of a nightmare. Our focus, this clandestine group operating back in 1930s Ohio, they called themselves the Hollow Men, and their goal was just chilling. They aimed to harvest fear, specifically like the pure raw terror of children.
It's like a real life Monsters, Inc., but profoundly disturbing. Instead of laughter, it's dread they were after.
Exactly. So we're going to sift through the accounts we have, try to understand this whole phenomenon, the leader, the methods, everything.
Yeah, and what strikes you right away is their core belief, the one tied to their leader, nicotine.
What was that?
Well, the sources, they all seem to point to this conviction they had, that pure innocent fear, especially from kids, it held some kind of unique, extraordinary power.
Power for what, though?
That's where it gets a bit murky. Some accounts suggest, dark rituals. Others mention something about using it to, well, to cure
Yes, it was
illnesses.
fear illnesses with fear.
Bizarre, right? It just highlights how strange their whole ideology was. This weird mix of maybe a cult and something else.
It is unsettling. And it wasn't just some like small isolated thing either, was it? The accounts make it sound almost commercial.
Disturbingly so. Yeah, they were apparently capturing screams, bottling them up somehow,
Bottling
and
screams.
selling them on the black market. Reports say for a lot of money.
It just paints this picture of fear itself becoming a product, a commodity. It's grotesque.
And when you dig into the leader, nicotine, his own rationale, it gets even darker.
How so?
Well, when he was finally caught, his final statement, supposedly, it's chilling.
What did he say?
He apparently claimed that the suffering he caused these children, it was a necessary evil. Justified, he thought, because it could potentially save millions of lives.
Save millions. How? By
Duh.
selling fear.
That seems to be the implication tied perhaps to that curing illnesses idea. He even accused the, quote, system of wanting people to stay sick.
Okay, hold on. Let's just process that. The suffering of children balanced against saving millions.
It's a heavy claim.
Was he just a monster? Or did he actually believe his own twisted logic? Did he think he was doing good?
That's the really uncomfortable question, isn't it? It forces you right up against that moral line. Can those kinds of ends ever justify such, well, such horrifying means?
It really makes you think about conviction, how far someone will go if they truly believe something, no matter how warped it seems.
Definitely. The narrative really shows how a fervent belief, maybe completely unfounded, in the power of fear could drive these just atrocious acts.
And the methods, I mean, how did they actually do it? The sources say they operated at night.
Under the cover of darkness, yes. They'd send people, apparently dressed in these custom-made, horrifying costumes, right into children's bedrooms.
Oh my God, into their bedrooms?
Yeah. Imagine the terror, that absolute violation of safety.
It's unthinkable.
And then there's the machine, the sound wave
What's
machine.
that for?
The accounts describe it as this device they built specifically to capture the sound frequencies of pure fear. The screams, basically. So they weren't just scaring them, they were recording it. It transforms it, doesn't it, from simple, awful intimidation into this calculated, almost clinical act of extraction, like you said, industrializing terror.
So they bottled these recorded screams and trade them in the shadows. What were they supposedly using this bottled fear for?
Well, like we touched on, the stories point two main ways. One is dark rituals. The details there are pretty vague, lost to speculation mostly.
And the other.
The other, which is maybe even more unsettling, is that belief it could cure things. That screams for the cures idea mentioned in one analysis, it just shows the irrationality driving it all.
But whatever the rumors, the real cost. It was the children, wasn't it? The psychological damage.
Absolutely devastating. The sources emphasize hundreds of kids were traumatized over the years, this went on.
Hundreds. You think about the nightmares, the long-term effects, losing that basic sense of security.
And initially, the authorities were just baffled, completely bewildered. They couldn't figure out what was causing this wave of intense fear in these communities.
Which says a lot about how secretly they operated, preying on kids without leaving the usual kind of evidence.
Not at first, anyway.
So how did it end? How did they finally get caught?
It wasn't until 1941, apparently. The story goes that an ex-employee, someone from inside the Hollow Men, couldn't live with it anymore.
Someone came forward.
Yeah, exposed the whole operation. Their conscience, I guess, finally won out.
And nicotine.
That led straight to his arrest.
Yeah.
And according to the accounts, he was sentenced to the electric chair.
A definitive end.
A grim one, yeah. And the government, reportedly, seized all the money, all the profits he'd made from selling fear.
So even knowing this is, a constructed narrative, maybe fictionalized, it leaves you feeling really uneasy. It makes you think about bigger things.
It really does. If you look at the themes underneath, the story acts like a disturbing example of how belief systems, even totally irrational ones, can be twisted, weaponized.
Like within these systems of control, the belief in fear's power drove everything they did.
Exactly. Fear became their product and their tool. They profited from it, used it to control, to terrorize.
Which brings up a really important question for, for you listening. How does something that seems so illogical gain that kind of power? How does it lead to such awful outcomes?
The story doesn't give easy answers, does it? But it definitely makes you think about how powerful ideology can be and how dangerous sometimes.
And we've tried to keep that critical lens, questioning Nikitin's justifications, pointing out that huge gap between what he said he wanted and what he actually did.
That moral friction is central to it.
And those pauses, those moments where maybe we're quiet for a beat, they're intentional. It's heady stuff. You need a moment for the weight of it to sink in.
What part of it all sits most uncomfortably with you, do you think? For me, it's probably the cold, systematic nature of it, that industrial scale of inflicting terror.
Yeah, that's deeply disturbing for me. I think it keeps coming back to Nikitin's final statement. That chilling idea that some suffering is okay if it saves many more. It sounds almost logical on the surface, but it's terrifying when you unpack it.
It is a dangerous kind of logic.
So, yeah. As we wrap up this deep dive, let's just quickly recap the main points.
Okay.
We looked at the Hollow Men, the secret group in 1930s Ohio, their bizarre mission, harvesting children's fear.
Right. And the twisted reasoning of their leader, Nikitin. We talked about the sound wave machine, how it worked.
The strange rumors about what they did with the screams, the rituals, cures, and the awful psychological toll on the kids.
Hundreds of victims.
Ugh.
And finally, we sort of touched on the bigger picture, how belief systems can be manipulated, how fear can be weaponized.
Yeah, it's a fictional account, but it resonates with some unsettling truths about control and belief.
It does.
So, to leave you with something to think about, in today's world, with so much information, so many competing beliefs coming at you, how do you evaluate it all? How can you, guard against your own deepest emotions, especially fear being exploited?